Psalms 149 this morning. Psalms 149. I know Brother Dean was talking about experiencing high grass and short grass and rocks and creeks and sands and everything yesterday. In my foursome, I experienced a young man who was trying to bribe away our musician, Miss Kay, yesterday with an offer of money. I disposed of the body. I believe it's the 16th hole. There's a pond there. And so if you begin to see kind of a film rise up on the water, don't pay it no attention. He'll be just fine. His family's been notified. Wife's getting insurance money. She's okay, too. All right. I'll learn him. All right. All right. Psalm 149 this morning. The Bible tells us, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance, and let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord." This morning we are looking at the indications of praise. The indications of praise. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, Lord, we always do, Father. Lord, with bated breath. Father, we come every Sunday morning and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and God, the great victory that took place there at that grave just 3 days after he was crucified on that Passover. But God, each and every Sunday that we come here, we celebrate that day. But God, we also look forward to that day that Christ will once step out on the clouds. The Bible tells us his voice will sound like the trumpet and he will call his children home. God, we don't know when that day is going to come. We have no idea. We know that we are close, but we don't have a schedule. We don't have a calendar. We don't have a time frame that we can expect that day to be on a certain day. And so, God, this could be our last day to be here praising you. This could be our last day to be here listening to a message preached. This could be our last day to come in through the doors of the house of the Lord. And so let this be a day, dear Father, if this is our last, that God, when we stand before you, we can say that we did so with lips and a heart and a great effort made to praise you on this day. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in his name. Amen. I noticed when Brother Dean, the choir, was getting ready to sing, and after they got ready to start that second verse, that he turned around and started clapping hands at you to try to get you to either keep time, mess up time, or at least to praise the Lord. When we come to church, this is one of the things, quite honestly, I believe that sometimes we leave off, which should be the thing that we make up our mind that once we come, even before we come, that we're not going to leave the house until we pick it up and bring it with us. Because what happens, and we read right here from this psalmist, and right here in Psalm 149, we have no idea who the psalmist is who penned this 49th chapter or 149th chapter in the book of Psalms. We don't have any idea. We don't know if it was David. We don't know if it's one of the sons of Asaph. We don't know if it was Asaph himself. We don't know if it's the sons of Korah. We don't know if it was one of the Psalms that Moses wrote down. He did not take authorship over. We don't know if it was from the sons of Heman. We just don't know who it is that penned this psalm. But we do know something about the person who wrote the psalm. That when he came into the house of the Lord and when he came in amongst the congregation of the saints. And just like this morning, when we got ready to start with our praise and worship time, that we learned a new song, that he was going to come in with an attitude that he was going to bust a gut and make sure that when he came into the house of the Lord, that he praised the Lord. See, this is the thing that we're supposed to do. This is what God wants us to do. We can go to a High Toms game and we can cheer on somebody that we don't even know. And we can go to a high school football game or a baseball game, or we can go to some sort of a recital or something. And we have no problem whatsoever for hollering or cheering or rooting someone else on. But when we come to the house of God, we get real reserved and we get real uptight. And we get real tied up. And we start worrying about what others are going to say. We start worrying about other things that's going on. And that is not supposed to be our intention. Because that's the first thing we'll look at this morning. That is the intention of praise. Now look what he says right. The first four words are praise ye the Lord. What he said is, you praise the Lord. Now here's what we do. We worry about the person who's sitting beside us. We're worried about what they're going to say. And we're worried about what they're going to think. And we're going to worry about their impression of us. And we're worried about what it is they're going to say about us once they get off the church property. I mean, did you see that guy sitting beside of me? What he was doing, man, I'm going to tell you what, I thought he was going to jump a pew there a second ago. I mean, he just got all excited and stuff and raised his hands and shouted like near scared me to death. I remember being in a church service one time at New Bethany Baptist, and a friend of mine was there, and we were sitting right about where Miss Tara and Emily and Eric are sitting, right about the third row. And the fellow who was singing, his name was Mike. And I'm not going to tell you what his last name is. You may know him. But his name was Mike. And he was standing up and he was singing. And New Bethany Baptist Church, where I was raised at as a child, if you said amen, they would break their neck to see who it was that had the gall to say something during the worship service other than the pastor. Now, let me tell you something. Brother John was, he was somebody who could get excited in worship. Brother John Tigg would just get excited during a worship service. And the Lord started speaking to his heart. He had no problem raising a hand. He had no problem raising both hands. He had no problem getting up on his feet. He had no problem with shouting. He had no problem with exercising and praising the Lord. That was his Christian liberty to do. And all of a sudden, Mike was singing something, and old John jumped up and he went, "Hey, man, glory to God," with both hands like this. And the guy that was standing here, as soon as John did it, stepped three steps back, forgot the words of his song, and looked at him and said, "Brother, you like near scared me to death." And he was playing, and he was singing, you know, with canned music. And let me tell you something. Now, if you're singing and Miss Kay's playing, unless she is challenged to go away from here for $25,000 a year, but that's okay. All right. But when Miss Kay is playing, now she can kind of, she's going to find out. You shouldn't never took it. She seriously considered it yesterday until I killed the guy, but that's the way. But she can slow down, or she can go back or something. That canned music on that CD, it just keeps on going. It just keeps on playing. He couldn't catch his place. He couldn't get back where he was supposed to be. He couldn't figure out where he was supposed to be. He looked back at the folks back in the sound room. He said, "Brother, I'm just going to have to ask you to start it over again." And he looked at John, and here's what he said. "Brother, please don't do that again. Brother, please don't do that again." See, what he was more concerned with was the performance that was taking place on the stage, instead of the praising of the Lord out in the congregation of the saints. That's our intention. That's our intention, folks. And don't you ever come in here on a Sunday morning thinking that you're going to scare me, you're going to shake me up, that you're going to get me off my notes. I ain't even got no notes this morning. You're not going to get me off of it. If the Lord wants you to say, you say something. If He wants you to raise your hands, you raise your hands. If He wants you to praise Him, you praise Him, because that's what we're here this morning for. You're supposed to take something away from this service that you can't get out in the world. You're supposed to take something away from this service that you can't buy at a Walmart or a Target or in a store. You're supposed to take something away from this service this morning that's going to charge you up, that's going to feed you, that's going to give you substance for the upcoming week. Because Jesus Himself even told His disciples, He said, "Look, fellas, when you go out from My presence, I'm sending you forth as sheep out amongst a bunch of wolves. And you've got to remember what it is that I've taught you. And you've got to remember what it is that I've instructed you on. And you've got to remember those things, because when you go out there, you're not going out there amongst a friendly crowd like what you're around here on a Sunday morning. You're going out amongst those who do not profess Christ as Savior. They try to deny the God that created them. They try to explain away all the truths that are found in the gospel. And they try to remove the explosive power of the Holy Spirit and salvation. They want to remove all those things. And they want to quiet you down." Folks, listen, don't you ever do that. The Bible tells us, you praise the Lord. You sing unto the Lord that new song. You let that be new and fresh to you every time that it takes place. Dr. Oliver B. Green said that Christians will allow Satan and the world to rob them to the point in their Christian life that by the time they leave this world, Brother Josh, they might worship five times in their entire Christian life. Worship just five times in their Christian life. Well, preacher, what are we doing the other times? You're just going through the motions. You're just going through the motions. You're just showing up. You're just going through the motions. You come in the congregation of the saints, and you listen to the songs, and you listen to the preaching, and you come in one way, and you leave exactly the same. Folks, that is not the intention of praise. That is not the intention of the gospel story. That is not the reason that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He went to the cross of Calvary so that you might be transformed, so that you might be changed, and so that you might be excited about what it is that Christ can do with you in your life if you will just simply give it over to Him. We're supposed to praise the Lord in the congregation of the saints. Look what He said. He's not only in the saints, but there's a spillover effect. Look what He says there in verse 2. He says, "Let Israel rejoice in Him that made Him." So now we go away from the congregation of the saints to Israel as a nation. Israel as a nation is just like and was just like the United States of America is today. There are believers and there are non-believers. There are those who believe in God with their whole heart who are here this morning. And there may be some of you who are here this morning that may even have clouds and seeds of doubt about His very existence. And I can guarantee you it's like that out in the world. Folks are all the time trying to take scientific evidence that points toward God and then try to pervert or twist it away and try to tell us that it points toward the fact that God does not even exist. What the psalmist is saying here, he says, when you leave this place all charged up, when you leave this place excited about what it is that Christ has done for you, when you leave the house of God with fire in your eye, with joy in your heart, with spring in your step, and with the sounds of the gospel praise on your lips, then you're supposed to go out and you're supposed to affect the world, and you're supposed to infect the world. You're supposed to affect it. What you do is supposed to make a difference not only in your life, but in the lives of those that are around you. And you are supposed to infect them with the gospel to the point that they want to have inside of them what it is that you have inside of you. Now, most of the time when we think about an infection, we think about something that we want to get rid of. We think about something that we don't want to have. We think about something that is inside of us that our body fights against, naturally trying to put off. That is not the type of an infection that I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about you getting something that once you get it, you want to keep it. You want to hold on to it. You want it to be precious to you, and so that somebody else can have what you have. See, that's what he says. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. And let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. See, joy is something that is ever present inside of the heart of the child of God. You can't get it, and you can't have it, and you can't possess it unless you are a born-again child of God. Now, you can be happy. You can be satisfied. You can have some good moments, but you can't be joyful. Being joyful is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Holy Ghost that the Bible tells us about in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the gifts and those are the fruits of God's Holy Spirit that lives within the life and the heart of that person who has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He wanted all of Israel to be and to have what he had and be what he was. And how sad it is that we go through a life and we go through a whole week. We may go through a day. We may go through a year and never tell anyone about the gospel that changed us. We're supposed to be joyful. Look what he says. And we're supposed to be an outward, an external exhibit. Because he says, let him praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. This is something that you just don't keep on the inside. I heard a fellow one time describe it. And he said, when a deity, God so large, gets inside of you, how can he not spill out? How can the God that created all the universe, that the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that his throne encircles the heavens, how can a God be that is that big be inside of you and not come out somewhere? There's just no way that you can be so full of the God of heaven and he not come out in something visible, in something that is tangible, in something that when people see you, they say, man, there's something different about that young man. There's something different about that young lady. There's something different about that gentleman. I mean, you know, I'm standing here in the line at Walmart. And the person up here can't get stuff ringed out, and I'm frustrated. There's people behind me in line, and I'm in a rush. I'm in a hurry. I got to get out of here, and I'm standing up here, and I'm about to go out of my mind because I'm wanting to get out of this line, and there's some guy back in behind me singing, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Stand back here and just sing the praises of God. Or some little kid back here, mom and dad have them in a line at the buggy singing, Jesus loves me. Folks, it's got to come out somewhere. Because look at the invention. Here's why God, there's an intention, but there's also an invention of praise. Look what it says in verse 4. It says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Now let me ask you something. This is going to be the dumbest question that you have been asked all day. But it's just 11:50. The day's early. Okay, so don't give up on it. Somebody may top it. Now, would you enjoy somebody at a ball game who's like this? Or would you like somebody at a ball game like this? Woo! Yeah, man, go, yeah. Which would you rather have? Which would you rather be? Would you rather be the one that's excited? Or would you rather be the one that's not excited? Would you rather be the one that's involved? Or would you rather be the one that's not involved? Would you rather be the one that sits silently? Or would you rather be the one that lets their team know that you're rooting them on? Because look right here, it says, because God takes pleasure in His people. Just like a parent takes pleasure in watching their child out on a swing set in a playground. Or a parent takes pleasure in watching their child stand up and put on a choral presentation. Maybe they made all state, or maybe they made all county, or maybe they made some sort of a glee club, or maybe they're getting some sort of a scholarship or some sort of a reward, or they're at a dance recital, or they're doing something, and you're sitting out there and your chest is about to explode because you're so proud of the accomplishments, the work, and the effort that your child put into it. And what makes us think that God our Father is any different to us, or thinks any different about us? We want God to look down from heaven and say, that's my child. Look at what she's doing. Look at what he's doing. Look at the faith that has grown inside of them. Remember what they used to be. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I have got the first sermon that I ever preached on a cassette tape. Now, I don't even know if they still make cassette players anymore, but I've got it on a cassette tape. The first sermon I ever preached on December the 22nd, no, December the 13th of 1988. I'm going to be honest with you, that thing was awful. But I got it. And for a good hefty price, I'll let you listen to it. Because if I'm going to be embarrassed like that, it's going to cost. There's going to be an admission charge for that one right there. It just wasn't very good. It just wasn't very good. But it's just like any other sword or any other knife. The more you hit it on a rock, the sharper it gets. It's just like that person who comes up and stands behind this microphone for the first time and sings a solo. And they're so nervous that you can literally hear their voice quiver. They lose their place when they're singing a song, and they get down and they think, oh, you know what? I did so awful. I did so bad. Somebody comes up and pats them on the back and says, you did so good. I'm so proud of you. When are you going to sing again? And they think, oh, probably never. But yet they approach Brother Dean again. Brother Dean says, yeah, we'll be glad to let you sing. And the next time the voice don't quiver. And the next time they stand up and they sing with a confidence. They sing with a power. And they sing with a conviction that they didn't have the first time. It's like that young man who continues to preach. Or that Sunday school teacher who continues to teach. And God looks down in heaven and says, watch my child grow. It's just like we take our kids and we put them up against that door jamb. And we mark that place off with that pencil. And on this date, they were this tall. And then on this date, they were this tall. And then on this date, they were that tall. Don't you know that God does the same thing with us? When He takes that spiritual pencil and He says, look at where Brother Josh is here. And look where he is here now. And look where he is here now. But look what he's going to be. Amen. That's God taking pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. He takes and He grows it like that beautiful garden, like that bouquet of roses. That's something that is so beautiful that when He looks at it, it's so, you can't hardly even look at it. It's just gorgeous. That's the invention. Because He says, and look what He says right here. He says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. I mean, it's something they take to bed with them. They think, man, this was such a wonderful day. This was such a joyous day. This was such a praise-filled day. I don't even want it to end. I don't want the sun to set. I don't want my eyes to close. I don't want sleep to fall upon me. I want this day and every day to be just like this one. It can't get any better than this, except or unless I go to heaven. Folks, that's the way praise is supposed to be. It's supposed to be that little slice of glory that we have with us that even takes us to the end of the day. And look, it says, and I'm not going to let anything stand in my way. Look what it says there. And let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. I'm not going to let anybody rob me of it. I'm not going to let anybody take this from me. I'm not going to let anybody who's over here, hey, listen, somebody off to the side of you is over here playing X's and O's, or they're over here playing words with friends on their phone while I'm sitting here preaching, or standing here preaching, hoping that I'm going to hurry up and shut up. or whether they've got something else going on in their mind, or whether they're fiddling with something, don't let them take away your attention. Don't let them take away what it is that God has for you on this day, on this Lord's Day, in this point and hour, in this time in your history, because this might be the time that forever alters what you're going to be in Jesus Christ. Don't let nobody rob that from you. And that's what he said. He said, the joy of the Lord is going to be in my mouth, and a sword's going to be in my hand, and nobody's going to take it from me. And how sad, we worry about the time. We worry about the hour. We worry about the morrow. We worry about what we're going to wear. We worry about where we're going to go. We worry about where we're going to eat lunch. We worry about this, and we worry about that. And we allow the devil to rob us each and every Sunday morning. And that's not what God has intended for us. Not at all. Not at all. Folks, listen to me. Because the Bible says, when we do this, it's to understand that if we don't do this, if we don't let God's Word change us, if we don't let faith be something that becomes a living part of us, and we just allow our lives to be spent just on our own and what it is we think about, what it is we want to have. Look what he says here. To execute vengeance upon the heathen, the punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Folks, a couple of weeks ago, I went to the Cowboy Church, and we didn't have any music, and that was fine because that gave me 45 minutes to preach. They found out that was a mistake. I told them, I said, I'm going to be nice to y'all. I'm going to let you pick tonight. It's going to be Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. Or Luke chapter 16, I'm going to preach on hell. Now, we're going to treat this like a double-barrel shotgun. You can either pull the front trigger, which will be Luke chapter 15. You can pull the back trigger. That'll be Luke chapter 16. Or if you got the nerve, pull them both. They said, pull them both. Preached out of both. And this is the message of that, just in a nutshell. You can either be like that prodigal in Luke chapter 15 and say, you know what? I've spent a lot of time out here wandering away from the Lord. I spent a lot of time just worrying about myself, feeding my own needs, my own wants, my own desires. But you know what? I've decided God's got better than that for me. God's got better than that for me. Or you can be like that rich man. In Luke chapter 16, you can fare sumptuously every day. You can spend your whole life just worried about you. But one of these days, time's going to run out. That last message is going to be preached. That last invitation is going to be given. That last opportunity is going to be issued. That Holy Spirit is going to deal with your heart that one last time. And then after that, when death comes knocking, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, says the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die. We're all going to die. Everyone's here today is going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this judgment, now what you choose, what you do with Jesus, is going to determine eternity in the Father's house. Maybe scarred a little bit, beat up a little bit, banged up a little bit like the prodigal was. Or like the rich man, he opened up his eyes in hell. That's your choice this morning. If you're here this morning, you choose Jesus Christ as Savior, and you see yourself as a lost person, you need to be saved, you come to this altar, and let us rejoice with you as you become a member of the family of God.